Blog Talk Radio.
So let's get into it. Urban Therapy with Sun 752 with this your daily go get them is a show. We do this every single day. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. We break it down, baby. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains and the DG will do the same. I'm your host, Sun752, aka Omar with the rrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrr, well then you just say Omar with the R. It is the Daily Go Get It Business Show. And we are in motion, baby. Power Monday. How y'all feeling, man? I hope y'all feeling like real men and women should. I know I'm feeling like one. You know. Tonight, we talking about that feeling that you played yourself. Yeah, it's like, fellas, it's like that time. It's like that time when you thought you was going to get some ass. You knew you was dealing with a straight freak. You knew you was dealing with a straight freak. She went to the bathroom. She came back and you was on the bed, butt-ass naked. Nothing on. Not even that earring in your left ear. And she honestly just went to the bathroom, dog. She didn't go to freshen up. I guess she went to relieve herself, if you want to call that freshening up. But she really just went to the bathroom. She might have been wanting to give you some ass, but now she's second-guessing it. Because you looking like that white boy who was killing them white girls on 10 till midnight. Remember the old flick, that old Charles Bronson movie, 10 till midnight? The boy used to murder chicks, but he used to get totally naked so nobody could say that he had blood splatter all over his clothes or whatever, so he would kill them naked. That's you. That's what you looking like right now. You looking. And it's like you knew you played yourself as soon as she came out, because she did not have that look of a pleasant surprise on her face. You there rock hard. She was not looking like, oh, well, maybe I should join you. The water's fine. The water's fine. Maybe I should get in. She looking at you like, guess who's about to put their clothes back on or else? I'll give you a hint. It ain't me. And you there naked like, what's up? You're like, what you mean, what's up? What's up? I'm about to get the fuck out of there. She about to get up out of there, and it's her crib. That's her crib. She about to get on up out of there. Like, she about to leave you in her house. Yeah, you played yourself. You're not getting that ass. You know, sometimes you play yourself a little bit with a chick, and you might have a reprieve. She might be like, well, you know. Yeah, he pretty much nutted himself, but it was an innocent play, not this one. Because first of all, you already assumed that she was gonna give you some ass, and it was probably because somebody told you that she was the type that will, if you go ahead and let her go to the bathroom, just go ahead and get naked, and she'll be with it. More than likely, somebody told you that dumb shit and you believed it.
Well, I mean, the dude who told me was fucking her. So, I mean, it was making sense to me.
I understand. Put your clothes on, son. Put your clothes on. It's time for you to go. Them conversations after this day, after this night, well, there will be conversations between her and whoever she tells about this incident. And she may talk to you, too. But those conversations are going to be a lot different, where you felt like those conversations were moving towards y'all getting together. They're probably not going to move in that direction anymore. Probably not. Now, if she does, then now the tables have turned and she's kind of played herself. And stranger things have been known to happen. Stranger things have been known to happen. Make sure that y'all hit that like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all hit the like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, this has to go down on Daily Go Get Him in some show. That feeling that you played yourself. I would like to give a shout out to everybody who calls people on Messenger. When you call a person whose phone number that you do not have, when you call a person who didn't give you their number. You know how sometimes you will get somebody's number from somebody else, and sometimes it's okay. Like if you're taking classes together, if you're in some type of group, maybe if you're at the job, whereas it's more of an official professional call, then it might be okay to get somebody's number from somebody else. But a casual acquaintance that you're really trying to get romantically involved with, it's probably not a good idea to befriend them on Facebook and decide, I'm going to call them on Messenger. I have yet to hear one woman say that, yeah, he called me on Messenger and we've been kicking it with each other ever since. Now, I'm not saying that it don't happen or that it can't happen. What I'm saying is I haven't known it to happen. What I have heard is, yo, don't be fucking calling me on Facebook Messenger. That's why I'm about to delete this app now.
That's what I heard, have heard. If you call me on Messenger, you're getting blocked. I've heard that. If you do not have my phone number to my cell phone, but you ring my phone, there's going to be a problem. I've heard that. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. So, and you know what? Interestingly enough, that's not just a male thing. Women do that too. I have gotten many calls on Messenger. I'm like, you know what's the weird thing? You know what's the weird thing about Messenger? It's totally offensive, I think, to audio call somebody on Messenger. But it kind of makes sense that you would video call them, because that's pretty much what it's for. Like, nah, you can't call and talk to me, but you can call and talk to me if we're looking at each other, because that's even. Maybe it's only me that feels that way. Either one of them, the person who receives the call holds all the discretion about whether they want to talk or not, and whether the two of you are going to talk or not. But a good way to play yourself is to call somebody on Facebook Messenger, because it's an excellent way to get unfriended or to get blocked. Hook, line, and sinker. Carol Chamberlain says, I hate when I get a call or a messenger from people I don't know. People I know, I don't mind at all. I ain't gonna lie, Carol. I don't like getting it from people that I do know, because I'm like, you got my number. Why are you calling me on this bullshit? Or when people treat your inbox like it's your text messages, I'm like, this is not a text message. It's something. It uses text, but it's only a real text message when they have your phone number and they call you on a line that they could only call if you have phone service. That messenger shit, I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Listen, all right, let me put it this way, Carol. You shouldn't be able to call me on a line that a Nigerian scam hacker could call me on. You should nah. T. Carrie Wright says, oh my God, I get calls on messages randomly from God. I'm like, bro, you are definitely playing yourself, because I only know you from Mafia War. You got it. No, I only know you from Mafia Wars. You play Mafia Wars? But yeah, like, yo, real shit. Real shit. Yo, I tell you one thing. They better never put a call feature on Words with Friends. Because Words with Friends is the new inbox. They send you a game request. You say, yeah. You playing, next thing you know, inbox. Hey. All right, I'll bite. Hey or hi. Then it's like, where are you from? What country are you? You know what? That feeling that you played yourself. In the area of sex, it's easy for one to play themselves. You can play yourself by not wearing a condom when you really should have. Like, yo, this is the first time y'all fuck. You should probably strap up. Nah, she said she was cool. I'm cool. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Dudes don't be like, she said she was cool, because dudes don't be asking. She looked like she was cool. She didn't look like she had nothing. She didn't look like she had nothing. Nah, she like, yeah. How your dick feel today? Well, I'm going to the doctor. She look like she has something now? I mean, I don't know. She still look cool. But, you know, I got to go get this thing checked out. All right, Drippy Boy. P. Burn, Mr. P. Burn. Mr. Burns. She ain't look like... She might not look like she had nothing, but she might look like she got something now. A baby. You know, a baby. Yeah, that thing, you know. It grows and grows and it grows. That shit, your babies grow like rumors. Juicy rumors. Narciso says, I won't put my number on social on a social media app. That's like getting a robocall. Stacey White says, I don't have Facebook Messenger no more. I am very glad of that. Carol Chamberlain says, don't inbox me with dumb-ish. Uh-huh. T.K. Wright says, if you don't have my phone number, that means you aren't a real romantic interest. Carol says, looking clean and being clean are not the same. Sure, all right. Yeah. That feeling that you played yourself. I mean, dudes have played themselves in sex plenty of times. I mean, you know, you could say that you played yourself. Let's say you got so excited when you had sex with a chick that you busted the nut all fast. Then you went round two and bust again. Like, you might have played yourself, but then again, you might not have. Evidently, there are women that can really get over that. Some excuse it heavy. To each his own. But you're playing yourself more so when what you did was not a subconscious mistake. You're playing yourself when you do something deliberate and you don't really think about anything that you're doing, the gravity of your actions or the consequences of your actions until it all comes down. And like I said, a lot of times you don't even really realize that you played yourself. Somebody got to put you on. And when somebody has to put you on to the fact that you played yourself, then now that you realize that you played yourself, you probably are in a short-term deep depression. You know how it'd be like, oh, my fucking God, I can't believe I did that. Sort of like making a yo mama joke when somebody's mom just died last week. You know, that kind of shit. The thing is, when you played yourself and you're the last one to know about it, somebody else has to comfort you in order for you not to feel played. It's not one of those things where you can empower yourself and be like, yeah, well, you know, I did what I did. You know what I mean? Shit. You know? Mm-mm. Because that's how you felt before you realized that you played yourself. Playing yourself can mean that you have taken away opportunities that you were going to have for yourself. You know what I'm saying? That's rap. Like, you was going for something, and you was about to have something. But now, it's not looking too good for you. It's not looking too good for you, son. Blaze yourself. Let's say you're a musical artist and you was about to get this record deal. You know, you already been selling your own records. You in a good position to really command your own price. So, but instead of getting this lawyer, because you know everything and you've been doing this on your own, you went ahead and signed the contract. Yep, you on now. You on now. You got this deal. 360 deal. Yeah, it sounds like good money.
Do you realize that these motherfuckers are getting a piece of your merchandising? They're getting your show money. They're getting your, they're getting the points on your album. They're getting your publishing. They get a piece of everything that you do. So you better sell a lot. Because when you win, they win. It's a lot of that going on these days. A lot of that going on these days. Let me see. Stacey White says, my husband is the only person that I'm having unprotected sex with. I am not trying to play myself. I hear that. TKI Wright says, my ex-husband plays himself by trying to quit me. Trying to put me on the defense after he was caught in BS by our whole family. All 7 kids, his mother, my mother is... Yo! Oh, shit. TK, right, says, not as well. Okay, wait. Yeah. That the worst part about playing yourself is the fact that somebody has to, they have to coach you, well, they have to kind of talk you down off the ledge. Because when you finally understand that you really played yourself, it can come down on you like, oh, my God, no. And, yeah, you're beating yourself up. Probably rightfully so. Now you looking for a lifeline. It's a tough situation to be in. Very tough. Very, very tough. I see that we have a caller on the line. Caller. Caller with the block number. Let's see. Caller with the block number. Welcome to the Daily Go Get-A-Mism Show. What's on your mind this evening? What's going on?
Hey, how are you? Hotep calling.
I'm good. Peace, Hotep.
Hey, man. I think it depends on the person when we're thinking play it ourselves. For example, there are some people who may have made decisions in relationships that were inappropriate, and they may have played themselves. But for some people, being just who you are is a good thing because the other party is able to determine whether or not it's a good match for them, you know, as opposed to, okay, let me do A because it'll make the person feel good and then maybe, but that's not who you are. So you end up playing yourself by not being yourself. You know, I think for many people it may be good just be who you are and first up the talk and say, hey, listen, this is what I'm about. This is what I'm looking into. This is my future. Is my background, what about you? Ah, you know what, maybe it's not a good match. Yeah, maybe we could just be friends. No, I'm good, I'll pay for the drinks and I'm out. Deuces. That's just my thinking, and I think we all are so different that everybody comes to the table with a different maybe approach strategy, and hopefully it works for them. I'm married now, so I'm good, but if I was single, as I got older, I developed more of a let me be me approach, but earlier I would adjust to try and fit the date or the female's, requirement. Oh, okay, she's looking for this, well, let me provide this. She's looking for that, let me provide that. And in some cases, it really wasn't who I was. I was just trying to hold the hands and get some action, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can play yourself in marriage also. You can play yourself in any facet of life. You know, I look how many husbands or wives have tried to make business deals that they thought would be lucrative for their family and wind up playing themselves totally, you know, signing things that they thought would bring dividends for the family in the future. You know, selling, using lifetime savings and draining 401k plans and things like that. All for a con man. You know, now you have 3 children all about somewhere between 2 and 4 years apart from each other. So let's say you have a 14-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 9-year-old, something like that. Now, as time goes on, there's going to be a time when almost all of them are in college at the same time. and you done took, you done drained your 401k and put them all in some stock futures. And you didn't really know that much about stocks, but you got a tip from somebody, and let's just put it this way. That money that you've been working for the past 25 years or so, now it's all gone. So that's your savings, that's your retirement, and that's also the money that would have helped you to be able to lighten the load for college tuition. Yeah, you played yourself. Or you might have even done worse. You were feeling lucky, and you put them all on red. You put them all on red on the roulette wheel. You know, people have done this kind of shit. Like, I had a dream last night. I had a premonition, and I really
I put it all on. God told me that 9 is going to be the big number.
I got 21. The dealer got blackjack. Oh, no.
There goes the future.
So you put your whole savings on one hand of blackjack? Well, yeah, because you only had to do it once. Think about it. If I have $25,000 and I bet $25,000, then if I win $50,000, I could have left the casino. One hit.
Mm.
Well, yeah, well, the odds were 50-50.
Yeah,
when you're that way. But when that 50 is the bad 50, it wasn't well thought out. Yeah, you could play yourself that way. Or there are plenty of times when spouses aren't 100% honest with each other because they're not on the same page about a business venture or about something that they hope will be beneficial to the family, you know, and, you know, they weren't in agreement about it. So one of them decided, well, I'm going to go ahead and do it. And they'll be so surprised and happy when everything works out. And then it doesn't work out. And you play yourself. You know, if your marriage was already on rocky ground before then, now it's even worse. This kind of shit could lead to divorce for a person that's hot-headed. And I'm like, I've had enough of this shit. How am I in a marriage? I've been in a marriage for 15 years and I'm starting all over. In the marriage. I don't want to do that. If I'm going to start all over, I might as well start all over with somebody else that will make better sound decisions. Like you seriously put us in a hole. Now we're going to have to take our kids out of Catholic school. They got to go to public school next year because of you. So yeah, and that feeling that you played yourself. See, it's one thing when you don't really look at it that way. It's when somebody informs you, explains to you, and outlines exactly what the gravity of your actions have been. Now you see it. It's like, yeah. Like people. Who, let's say you were looking for another job and you thought you were going to get the job. So in your mind, being in the running to get the job meant that you have the job already, but you didn't have the job already. You get into a spat with your supervisor or something like that. You say, I quit. Well, the thing about quitting the job is that you can't collect unemployment. So no security there.
No safety net.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you may not have been the type that saves their money, so you were already looking. I'm living from check to check, so you're counting on this last check. Things aren't looking good. And let's say that job that you were a candidate for, they decided to go with the other person. Now you have to start your job search all over again. And you did this. And you may be a single parent of two or three. And, like, what have you done? This was 10 days before the first of the month. Rent due. Yeah. People have played themselves that way. But they haven't just played themselves. They've played their whole family. You know, they've taken everybody down on the Titanic with them. Swim, Rose. No, Rose can't swim. That's why she's holding on to the side of this log.
Mm-hmm.
This is a problem. This is a major problem.
Yeah, and isn't it even more difficult in the black community, because not only is there less comprehension of financial strategies and, you know, how corporations work in terms of human resources and unemployment and the IRS, but then there's also limited amounts of nonprofits to help those people, A, get up to speed on the typical acumen necessary, but B, also if they did fall through the cracks, to have some safety nets through the nonprofit to say, hey, listen, you know, rent's due or the mortgage is due, so if we fall hard. We, as in, you know, most black people. It's not an easy fall usually. It's like you go from A to B, and B is the end of the rope. I think white people, Anglos, we could call them, Caucasians, tend to have an easier fall because they may not fall as hard and as fast. But, yeah, we need to develop much more understanding of how the capitalistic system works and have some nonprofits in place in case people do end up in a tough scenario, not ending up on the street or worse, you know. So, we have a lot to do.
Yeah, one of the biggest problems in our community is our ego, number one. Us having financial hardships is not something that we are foreign to. You know, we're more foreign to financial hardships than many of us acknowledge. You know, we're so used to not having anything like generational wealth, or not even having the concept of generational wealth. So we don't feel the hit that way, but we often lack resourcefulness. Whereas white people can often make a call to someone who can set them up with a job or a career or a second chance or, you know, a different ride. You understand what I mean? Many, many times our egos won't allow us to swallow our pride and maybe ask somebody who is not a great friend of ours, but a resource nonetheless. We will fail to ask that person because we don't want that person to think that we're down on our luck when we really are. We mm-hmm. undoubtedly are. You know, and we often fail to bridge those gaps of like we have an obsession. Many of us have an obsession with looking like we have money instead of actually having money. So so to ask for help is almost like a kick in
it
the balls.
It blows our cover.
Yeah. So it's like, so we have problems that are real and problems that are really just mirages, but we fail to get over it because our ego, you know, tells us that we're supposed to try to make it independently all the time, when none of us actually make it independently. And when we do work independently with the white man, we wind up being an independent fool or an independent liability. You know, we have independent problems that we can't get help with. There is no fun and very little benefits with being the token black. But it's hard to tell certain token blacks that shit. Like, do you realize when you're the only black person that works somewhere, you know, you don't have anything else to compare that to. So you may think that you're being paid a competitive salary, but you don't have any of your brothers and sisters over there to compare that to or compare that with. So I know for a fact that there are certain white people who make backroom deals, and so it looks like on paper that they're only making this much, but in reality, guess what? They're making more than you. And they may not have the college degrees that you have. They may not have the experience that you have or the work ethic that you have. And you're wondering why they're running around here never mad about anything. And you're thinking like, shit, I'm making six figures and I'm hard for me to make ends meet. Mm. It's just, it is crazy. So, that's a definite way to play yourself, being the token black. Like, yeah. So you don't want to put your brothers and sisters on to these opportunities that you could provide or that you know are available, because you just want to be that black guy or that black woman. I'm like, okay. It sure is lonely.
Yeah, but there's a level of mistrust that we also have, and I think much of this comes from the slave plantation, because on the plantation, there was a lot of secrecy. There were people snitching if somebody wanted to have a revolution. If you couldn't work for a long time, you were considered weak and you could be sold off. If your woman was pregnant, that could lead to issues. And I think we have never, as a people, actually sat down in conferences to research and analyze and discuss how slavery impacted us and epigenetics, which is genetics now that actually connects and sees that some of the things that people inherit come from ancestors beyond phenotype and, you know, heart disease, actual challenges and emotional stuff and toxicity. So imagine for us, we've been going through toxic stuff for over 400 years, what we have inherited, and then the great-grandparents telling you, oh, don't do this, don't say that, oh, man's supposed to be like that, you can't cry. And so women inherit some of the same stuff, and I think it's no coincidence, some of what we're discussing, that it occurs with us, not to mention the system itself portrays us in certain ways in movies and in songs and in TV, and then you hear people talking about you. It's a lot to take on without professional help from psychologists and without, you know, financial minds that can guide you. You know, Bill Gates and a lot of these types of folks, their parents weren't as rich as they are. Bill Gates, you know, even, what's the guy, Elon Musk, same thing. His parents were kind of middle class, but they got an emerald deal in Africa. And from that, I think it was in Malawi, possibly. But anyway, the deal was $80,000 for a plane. They took $40,000, got half, 50% of an emerald, and that was history. For the next 6 years, they made so much money. You know, but they didn't start off rich. But imagine in our situation, who has a father who can get them an emerald diamond deal, you know, or Bill Gates, whose father can hook him up with certain things. For most black folks, we just don't have that type of situation. So, you know, we constantly come up.
You're right. We don't have those types of resources. But
informal network, they call it.
Well, some of it is, unfortunately, some of it is of our own volition. Many of it, much of it is white supremacy, but some of it is our own is of our own volition, because far too many of us, some of the great ones of us, the ones who do have the means to be able to set other people up, and I'm not talking about any of these celebrities or anything like that. I'm talking about good black people who are educated or smart or resourceful or have really good business acumen and know how to manufacture, know how to distribute, know how to make things happen in the business world. But they only want to take care of a small group of people that they care about. This is my crew. This is my family. This is my thing. They don't really realize that that's getting us nowhere. It's doing nothing. So you want to secularize your success, yet you want everybody to support you. You want to run around here screaming black business, but you don't want to spread the ball around yourself, but you want the world to help you. Well, I see a lot of that. I see a lot of it, and I think it's offensive. I know we can do better, and we really should do better, but it's going to continue longer and longer and longer because sometimes the most woke of us are the most sleep. We really believe that, well, you know, we're going to have to leave a lot of us behind. You know, everybody ain't going to be able to go. No, none of y'all going to be able to go, because the majority of us are the ones that are pulling us back, pulling us down. Not the small, not the a small section of us. We're all lost. You speak of the slave mentality a lot, and I like that. And the slave mentality is not something that any of us can escape. It permeates all of our existence, and there's no way it can. The minute that we cease to support one another for any reason, I don't care whether it's colorism, whether it's gender things, which I'm guilty of a lot. Whether we're talking about religion, whether we're talking about the paid versus broke, or whether we're talking about neighborhood or gang affiliation or any of those things, any of those reasons that we stand by wholeheartedly to separate ourselves puts us right into the slave mentality. We would fare a lot better if we said, fuck it. Everybody gets something. And then once everybody has something enough to be able to take care of themselves, now we can start separating. But we separate before we get it.
Yeah,
we're too good. We should get it. You know what? That's the thing. That's the thing, Hotep. We should all get a job separating, because then we could get paid. But we would find a way to separate the separationists and separate.
And it wouldn't.
So
it's unfortunate. Check this out. Check this out.
Go ahead.
We get together and we buy chicken, right? We go on the line. We get Chinese food. We get Nike sneakers. No diss to Nike. I'm just saying, as in this example, right? We don't say, yo, you on line with me. You a blood. You a Crip. Who's serving me? What's your religion? Yo, you too light skin. You too dark skin. Yo, the way you talk, man, you sound like a coon. Yo, man, you sound like ghetto. We don't do none of that. We pay for the Chinese food. We pay for the sneakers, and we're out. Now, imagine those same, and I've tried this online. It never really worked. Imagine those same people get together and say, yo, man, we've been buying this fucking shit for years. What about if a few of us get together and open our own shit? Doesn't happen. Never.
You mean
no,
like
one taking me up on it.
You mean like
a Chinese
black
restaurant?
Like
folks working together. Well, instead of buying the same stuff from people who don't care about us, saying, look, man, we've been buying at this sneaker store. I've seen you here all the time. You driving that BMW. I got that little thing over there. Why don't we come together and find a few more people? We don't do that. We're consumers to such. In fact, we're probably the biggest consumers in America in terms of compared to our income, right? We just consume. We don't work together. And it's for the benefit of Asians and certain Latino groups and maybe Arabs, and it's good for them, and all hats off to them. But we don't circulate our dollars back at all, man. So
we
buy this chicken, but we don't work together to own the chicken business.
You're killing me with the chicken. But that
is true.
Right. It is. But the thing is, black people don't validate other black people. White people validate black people.
Yeah.
That's why Gucci, Louis Vuitton, and Polo have been holding down the black community for 40 years plus.
And because they can diss us, and we still buy it. They can
that's
be
right.
like, I don't want nigga money. I'll be like,
that's right.
Hell, how dare you? Here's my money.
Yeah, you're going to get this money because I'm going to wear this product. Because it validates me. It lets everybody know that I can afford to mess with people who don't even like me. Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah. Respect me now.
But let your black tailor be starting out his business, you know, making clothes that are better, tailored better to fit your body style and all that kind of stuff. Until he gets established, until the rest of the world validates him, you won't allow him to validate you, and you won't validate him. Like, nah, that stuff corny. I'm going to go buy some Polo until his shit blows up. And there goes another Carl Kanai. There goes another FUBU. There goes another Rockaware. There goes another Sean John. All that kind of stuff. It's
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but hopefully it can change, because this has been the cycle for a long time. And it's not to sound Republican, because I'm not, but it's just the reality that really is alarming. We don't really own enough. And I find that a lot of the businesses that are black owned, the folks act so uppity that I don't want to even go there. Not always, but for the most part, because there's so few of them. Some of the banks and some of the holistic stores, I'm like, okay, man, they treat me worse than the white man. What's going on here? You know? Except one or two. I just find that, you know, the customer service is rude, the prices are higher, and we're in a effed up situation, man. It's just my, you know, opinion, but we got to make some changes. 2022, you know, we spend a lot, but the dollars don't come back. If one spend a dollar with another black person, someone else spends 50 cents with someone else, you know, we could turn that dollar maybe into 10, right? Instead, we might turn it into zero, because it goes right out to other ethnic groups. It's not a racist thing. It's just the reality when you look at it. The Jewish folks getting a big chunk, and, you know, the Arab brothers and sisters getting a big chunk, and the Koreans getting their chunk, the Chinese getting their chunk, the Japanese getting their chunk, even the Indians getting their piece, you know? And I think the ones on top, the people, black, brown folks on top, are not doing enough to ensure there's a legacy built in the community. They're looking out often for themselves and maybe their kids and their little circle, but I don't see them reaching out to set up nonprofits to ensure that some of the rest of the community can identify who the best writers are, or who the best mathematicians are, or chess players, or who the best radio hosts are, or who, you know, we're not doing that. So we keep, you ever watch the celebrities? There's a little clique of celebrities when they hang with each other. Mm-hmm. I don't see them incorporating, finding the newest talent, the best new accountants who are just coming out of college, or some kids that got out of prison but that are great at art. I just don't see that happening, you know, and we can't do everything. So, you know, I call sometimes and discuss things, but I have my own ventures I'm trying to do. If I had $100 million, maybe I would do more, but, you know, I got to work carefully with the resources that I have, at least financially. So, yeah, man.
Well, you know what? I appreciate you calling in, and I'll tell you what, you have a lot of the right ideas, and you've definitely identified a lot of the problems. I'll tell you this though, and then I got to get out of here. But it's an interesting thing that the Italian mob used to do when they were in power is that even though they were taxing and extorting businesses, they would also instruct those businesses not to overcharge the public. It was weird, you know? So it was like, yeah, we're going to provide protection for you, but if you are sucking the lifeblood, the financial lifeblood out of these communities, then we're going to have to hurt you again. So it was like, you know, and I'm not so sure that we don't need a similar example like that for black businesses in our community, because we do complain a lot about black businesses not training their employees to be respectful and to be friendly with their customers, and so we are too used to a culture of ignorance and of disrespect, and we accept that, and we also get a bad label for our businesses who are trying to do better. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of vigilante justice. However, sometimes if violence or the threat of violence can help you to do something better overall, and it might be beneficial for you in the long run, then I don't see anything wrong with exploring that possibility. Other than that, the other thing is, you know, we have to do better when it comes to learning how to market ourselves a little better. You know, we have to do expecting black people to support you just because you're a black business Well, this is what's going to happen. They're going to support you one time. They're going to patronize you one time. And then because they feel like they overpaid for the product that you sold, now they feel like, all right, well, I supported you. I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody said I had to keep doing it. I did it. And I can't afford to keep doing it, but I did it this time and blah, blah, blah. Now, we can go ahead and blame the patron for not seeing the benefit of spending a little bit more, but that's just not smart business. And we can, mm-hmm. you can't run a business and beg for money at the same time. It doesn't work that way. You have products and services that are marketable and that people want, and then you shouldn't have to worry about people giving you money or donating. You're already selling enough to be able to sustain, and hopefully enough to be able to set an example for somebody else that's coming behind you who shares as much ambition and will follow your example.
Yeah.
So,
and by the way, before you break out, because I know you're about to go buy some Chinese food.
Yeah, you're right. Chicken.
Support.
Chicken.
I was going to say chicken, but I said, no, he's tired of my chicken analogy. Listen, we do have the brain power. We have the creativity. We create music genres. We come up with dance steps. Give us a little something, and we come up with an invention. What we're missing is the business plans, the marketing studies, the think tanks, the accountants, the economists. So we're raw talent right out the womb. It's just like, what? Here's an invention. Boom. But we don't have the professionals that come and say, hey, listen, let me make sure your intellectual property is right. Okay, that business plan, you should have had your executive summary a certain way. Okay, your logo isn't really a logo, right? That's just a symbol. You need something perfect. We don't have that. So what happens is the white establishment and Arabian establishment swoop in and steal the shit because we haven't presented it right. If only we had more of that support where people could go, you know, and say, look, I don't understand how to do business plans. I don't know what intellectual property is, but I got a great idea. I need some people. You know, like Shark Tank, a black Shark Tank. But all people like, come on in, people. What's up? What you got? You know? But, yeah, maybe someone will do it and get the great brains out there, you know, and the great ideas before the white establishment takes it all.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man. But we're positive. We can do it. It's not beyond hope.
One brick at a time. One brick at a time. This is our struggle is definitely a marathon, not a sprint. There's not one thing or one idea or one person that's going to fix this whole thing. It took years. It took hundreds of years to break it, and it may take just as much time to fix it. And even when it's totally fixed, I doubt that it will be totally fixed. You know, we have to get it to the point where it's recognizably better or improving. And right now, we have a long way to go there.
You're like me. You're like me, meaning I'm sure some people listening will think you and I are crying over spilled milk. I do a lot of shit when I get off the phone. Like, I'm in some stuff, just like you. It's not like you and I are sitting around thinking, oh, woe is me, the sky has fallen. What just upsets me is when I see other black people, so many of them, lost. And I feel, like, empathy, like, damn, and I can't help them all. You know what I mean? So I figure one way is to call certain shows, produce radio shows, and maybe try and spread some info. But don't let people get it twisted. You and I are doing our thing in our world with our family, with our business ventures. But we're not on Jay-Z level. Well, you might be, but I'm not on Jay-Z level financially where I could be like, you know what, I'm taking $50 million. Fuck it. I'm going to make a change in a state. And it's on and popping. Give me a call, everybody. You know, and that's what kind of frustrates me, that I want to do more for the people, but I really can't. I can only do for certain groups financially small. The rest I have to communicate linguistically and hopefully motivate them, you know. So, yeah, man, that's where we at.
Hey, you're on the right track. Look, I'm still struggling to get 1,000 followers on YouTube, but I'll tell you this. The most important thing as far as I'm concerned – and make sure that the people that you do help and that you do affect are affected in a way that will inspire them to help somebody else. Because the word of mouth effect or that type of positivity will serve you much better than trying to get stadium size examples of change and improvement among us. Because That way, we can never be sure that it worked. One by one, yeah, we can be sure that people are getting it. And we can make sure that because they got it, whoever they show will get it also. You know, money is one thing that cannot fix our shit. Money can't even fix poverty. How is it going to fix the social problem of a broken people? How? It can't. We need better ideas. We need better education. We need more opportunities. We need more resourcefulness, and we need more reinforcement. That's what's going to do it. Shoot, if 2021 didn't show us that all the stimulus money in the world can't fix this shit, then what will? Yes, we need money, but we don't need money. Can't fix a broken heart, and it can't fix a broken mentality. It can't. It just can't.
Well, don't ban me from the show now, but I think money will be a major help for our people, because even though many of our folks, and by the way, at the end of the show, if you don't mind, leave your YouTube, and I'm going to work on over the next month get you a few hundred more people on that YouTube through my network that I have offline. And I'll listen to the show and get the YouTube. For me, I say money will help, because imagine if you had $50 million, right, dollars to utilize to help our community, and I had $50 million or whatever, you know, $40 million. Mm-hmm. We could come up with so many programs for our local and our state, and even some international stuff for Haiti or Nigeria, that could uplift a ton of people, man. You know, I don't know if you don't want your $50 million, let me know, and I'll have $90 million.
I'm not saying that that money can't help the black community. It can't fix it. Too many of us believe that money will fix it. And the reason that many of us think that money will fix our community is because we think that as long as we can compete financially along with the Caucasian and the Asian and the Arab and everything else, then they'll finally start to respect us. And it's not true. Right now, we can't be respected because we don't have the redeeming qualities that people look for to be respected. You know, if we're doing all the spending and none of the buying, because there's a difference. When I say we're doing all the buying, I'm talking about ownership. I'm talking about the things that will actually generate revenue. You know, things that will actually, you know, create generational wealth. When I talk about spending, I'm talking about, oh, damn, I got paid $800 on my check, and now I'm down to $100, and it's only Tuesday, and I just got paid on Friday. You know, that's where our problems come from. And unfortunately, when you have not worked in order to make a lot of money, then it's like winning the lottery. And you know that the experiment with people who have won the lottery, they wind up losing that money really fast. Why not?
Yeah.
Because they didn't work for it. So they think that, they've been hearing all their lives, oh, this will be enough money for the rest of your life. And they realize it is until you start spending a whole shit pile of it, which you will when you have it at your disposal and you didn't have to do a damn thing to do it and to get it. And besides pick three numbers or five numbers or seven, however many it takes to win millions of dollars in the lottery or Powerball or whatever.
Or get the COVID bailout.
Yeah.
Look at the COVID bailout. I didn't see much happen in my community. I expected, okay, we're going to have at least 10 new businesses. I didn't see one pop up.
Listen, people got $1,200. I'm sorry, $1,400. They got $1,200 one time, then they got $1,400 another time.
Some got $7,000 and more, yeah. The first time, I think.
The bottom line is that was money for them to spend, and that's exactly what they did. So when if it was a situation where they had to actually do something in order to get the money, then it changes your whole perspective of what the money is about and what the value of it is and what it's going to take in order to roll it over. What we had was we had through the stimulus, and it wasn't just black people, it was anybody who experienced this, but you
yeah.
had people who were making more money sitting on their ass for an yeah. entire year than they made
yeah.
when they were working.
Yeah.
How does their life go on after that? Now they don't want to go back
yeah.
to work because they feel like it's a loss. So,
yeah.
you know, so money is something that will help our community. But what winds up happening with a lot of the money that is allocated to programs to empower us is that we wind up stealing all the fucking money. So we have 50 million was donated and 49 million was stolen, and now we're trying to find a way to cover up this 1 million that we have.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's the same in the third world. They get big money
exactly.
and the leaders pocket it, and the regular person gets the banana peel that's left over. And it's by design. The system knows that if there's corruption, cronyism, they know how to stop it, but if they can bribe off certain black nonprofits and leaders by giving them a $10 million or $100 million deal, they know they're going to pocket some of it. They could easily have mechanisms in place to catch it. But once you bribe
yeah.
the leaders, the people starve, and then everybody says, well, we give you money all the time, so what you complaining about? You know, it's odd, paradoxical.
Yep. All right, man, listen, I got to get out of here.
Yeah, man.
Okay, bro.
Don't forget your YouTube. Tell me leave your YouTube so I can call back in and listen to the end of the show, and then over the next month, you know, I'm going to do my thing.
All right. The YouTube is on there. I'll put it in the comments right now.
Okay. Awesome, bro. I'll see you over at the China Man.
Thanks a lot. Chicken for me.
All right. Okay. But you're paying, right?
This is definitely on me.
Okay.
Peace.
All right, man. Peace.
Great stuff. All right, y'all. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. January 24th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and make it feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C. They get number one out the box, Kai Smith. Happy birthday to you, Kai. And also Nakima R. Stanford turning 41 years old today, and Katrina LeBlanc, happy birthday to you, and Timothy Lipscomb turning 63 years old today, and La Boca Chula Estrella turning 32 years old today, and Isha Campbell turning 45 years old today, and Thomas Christina, happy birthday to you, and Nadine Fisher turning 29 years old today, and Dante Franklin turning 42 years old today, and last but not least, my comedian man, Dan Reagan. Happy birthday to you. I want to say happy birthday to all of you and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious. January 24th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally, all of y'all go ahead and turn it up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. I rock out. Rock on and do the jam. The damn. The rock out. Rock on and do the damn. Rock out. Rock on and do the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, listen, check it out, peep game. When you play yourself and they know your name, they going to treat you like you is the real lame. I want to give a shout out to the caller who called in, because he took my mind off of playing myself or playing y'all or playing, or you play us, you got to play. You play yourself. Honestly, playing yourself is really all about embarrassment. And a person that does not fear embarrassment can never be convinced that they have played themselves. One thing that I wanted to make sure that I got across when we were talking about playing yourself, or that feeling that you played yourself, is that a lot of times you may feel like you played yourself because you took a chance, because you stepped out on faith, because you had an idea or took a well-educated guess. Hey, things aren't always going to work out right then and there, right in the moment. But sometimes they play out a little bit later on. And what may look like the Charlie Brown Christmas tree that had hardly any needles on it or couldn't be decorated, when everybody pulled in and put in and helped out, then the little Christmas tree looked really good. And that's sometimes how your ideas are later on after it was a foregone conclusion that you had played yourself. But that's when your intentions are good. When you out there trying to play somebody else and you realize that, oh, shit, you done played yourself and you are known for playing yourself. I want y'all to have a great night. We will be back tomorrow night for another Daily Go Get a Business show. Make sure that y'all hit that like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. Blog Talk, we're going to get you on up out of here. We're going to say goodbye. See you earlier than next year. And for my Instagrammers, yo, Five Slammer Jammer, thanks for coming on through and let me exercise my grammar. And for my YouTubers, you know just how we do, but thanks for coming on through. I hit you on the other side, my boobers. So we're going to say peace like that.